this is Rabbi
Avraham Tenenbaum,
who tell us his recollections of Rabbi Arizal. Start from where you came to the, where you were before and when you came to the yeshiva.
Okay.
I have to look at this kid, it's running. It's running.
When I graduated high school in Chicago, so I decided I wanted to learn all day. So I heard about Lakewood. So I came down here to take a bear to get into the yeshiva. In those days, it was quite difficult to get in. Took a fair, and I got in. I mean, Chicago was Rav Rogoff. He had sent his son for a short while to Rav Aaron to learn. And when he left, he came back to Chicago, and Rav Rogoff suggested I go to Lakewood. I want to learn all day. Please, finish the Torah. All right, now what? What's the next job?
You came to Shiva, then you... How'd you get into the... into the yeshiva, that's that process that you were describing, entering the yeshiva.
I walked into the yeshiva, and I came on a bus from New York, and Rav Nosson was the first one that saw me. The very first question he asked me, did I have breakfast yet? I told him no. So he took me into his room and gave me breakfast, and he moved me over to Rosh Hashiva, gave me a time when to come in for a prayer. Period.
Continue on.
I was just 17 or 18 at the time, very young, and I prepared a stickle tear. Very, very last stickle tear, not realizing that the sugya prepared in Rav Aaron said on his own Shabbat bus every single day a stickle tear on Chuppas Nida. As soon as I started speaking, and I filled the Rav Aaron with Chakir, started my chug as Ramah Maraibet, Rav Aaron hopped me right around and told me over his shirt this year, twice during this year. I had them in, and Rav Aaron took off me right away. And when he finished, he said I should remain, and I'll stay going.
So the Behar was his year.
He was able to see from the first short prayer. Now Rav Aaron didn't take everyone. The one who gave me went had it prepared before me. Rav Aaron sent it back to Tiberias to learn for another year. Told me to try. I'll come back another year later. But me, told me the blind.
The people had the experience, what experience you had over the years. That made impressions, not the story.
I was the 35th buffer in the yeshiva.
Yeah.
And my first chavrusa was Shlomo Brevda. I lived with Shlomo Brevda I had no bed in the yeshiva. There were 34 beds. I asked the 35th, I had to go sit by the man on the couch. A chavrus after 2 months decided he's going from Chazen East to learn. And he told me he's giving me his bed. So I was Shlomo Brevda. He went to Chazen East and I had his bed. And then eventually my room became next door to Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron also stuffed the dormitory. The room next door became available and I got that room. And that's where I was all the years. Now what?
Impressive experiences you had.
Being next door to Rav Aaron, a Thursday night I was coming back up from learning. It was very late at night. Coming up from learning. And it was 12:30 at night. Rav Aaron came out of his room. And he asked me to right away shop a minion to say Tillum. He got a telegram from a Rav in Denver, Colorado, by the name of Letterman. Had a heart attack. And I should wake up 10 guys to come downstairs and say Tillum. I told Rav Aaron, nice now the guys are sleeping. Can't wake him up. In the morning, by davening, we'll say Tillum. Rav Aaron told me a Maisa show your name. He should do it right now. He told me a Maisa that he had made a deal with Eichmann from Gary and Eden. He told me over the whole deal of how to be matzah to Gary for a certain amount of trucks. He'll be matzah. But he had a deadline. The deadline was coming up. So he sent out telegrams to all the Rabbanim in America. They should wire back money for this Indian, for the Gary and Eden to make to pay off Eichmann. The very first telegram he got at night was from this season from Denver, Colorado. And Rav Aaron never met him. But the fact that he was the very first one that responded to this telegram, Rav Aaron held Kol Yisrael owes it to him. And really he got up and got shot the minion. That deed was Mamech Shan Yamin Vishanim along. It was a very much on time after that heart attack. Next. Maise Shoyin Kasa America Maise. Once a big year came into the yeshiva, Rav Aaron took off a chaver mine to the Greer, he should show around the Greer, the campus, the yeshiva, show him the base medrash, show him how to learn, and so on. He'd walked in at the base medrash, and two people, the Zalem was learning very stark, but in the corner there were two bachrim, they were screaming at each other very stark and learning, talking, knocking each other, yelling at each other. But he came, this year, the Greer came back to Ravana. Ravana asked him, how did he like what he saw? So everything was nice, except he doesn't understand these two bachrim in the corner. What are they screaming so much at each other? What are they yelling and screaming? What are they so excited about? So Ravaran told him, you probably have money in the bank, you have stocks, and you have real estate. Let's say your stocks fall, but you're still left with real estate and money in the bank. You lose the money, goes down, yeah. So these bachrim, they have zero. The only thing they have is swaras. That's the only thing they own. So if a bachrim comes to take away his swara, he has to scream back at him. He left and then was Makabala. Right? Well, what else? The Rambam said in the Shmos that if you suck us all the people who are, if one of the finest the people who are not only is a mitzvah, but stuck in Aksaka Satir, they get to know the Yiddish. I believe he said over Makabala. They get to know the Yiddish Gufa. So Chavar might ask Rambam later on. So why should I learn? I'll take the best bachur. I'll go out and work. I'll take the best bachur. She has much better head than me. I'll give him the money and let him learn. And I'll have his data. So Ryan thought for a moment and said, true, but El Hase is the chalam. You're not going to have El Hase. Next, Chavir Mankey from Montreal, and he wants to get a yeshiva. He was already older, and he's just about ready to go to work, and I convinced him to buy him a yeshiva. He went for a fair to Rav Aaron, and Rav Aaron fired him and accepted him into the yeshiva. However, the Bachur told Rav Aaron he doesn't have a penny to his name. How is he going to exist? So Rav Aaron said, we'll give you a chalukah. Every 2 weeks we got $5, $2.50 a week. Every 2 weeks, the yeshiva gave us a little envelope of $5 for the bachrim because they didn't have any money. So he said, we'll give you the $5 like everybody else, fine. Bachrim came to yeshiva. Chanukah at time, Rav Aaron met him, and Rav Aaron asked him how it's going, how it's doing. He says, everything is great except one thing, I don't have a penny to my name. So Rav said, what happened to chalukah? So he said, they never gave me. Rav Aaron called me over and really had big kindness. Where is my achrayas? I should have come over and tell him that they never took care of the chalukah. How do you let a bachur go by without chalukah? When you were there and I told him his only support he's going to have is chalukah, and it didn't happen, he should have come right over. He had mugged me very stark. Where's my advice?
The advice was that he didn't make it leave to you. You don't listen.
You can't sustain. It was time to go home for Pesach. I lived in Canada. It was time to go home for Pesach. So you had to get her shoes. The shoe was officially over Dalad Nason or so, Hain Nason. Other Bachram had to go live further away. They went home and asked her shoes to go home a little earlier. Even those who lived in New York came to time to go away, you had to go to her shoes and get tickets and get your shoes to leave. I wanted to go home with Trap earlier. I went over to her buying shoes with good name. When the alien was officially over, and then the Holy Elul Machavus, everybody left to go to New York. I went over again to Rav Aaron and said, no, you never gave me the shoes to go. The Pshat is, so it was already a couple of days before you did. And I was walking under the gas, and I met Rav Dave Schwartz from the Rebellion today. They were walking around the lake, speaking and learning, and I came the other direction. So they asked me, what are you still doing here? It's a couple of days before Pesach. I said, I don't know, I'm still asking the same question. So Rav Aaron's not giving me the shoes to go home. So Rav Dave Schwartzman said, I'll go in and find out what the story is. He went to Rav Aaron. And Rav Aaron told Bisham, all the other guys, they have a place to go to New York, we'll find a student, we'll go to learn that. What does he have up in Ottawa, where he comes from? When he left, there's a place to die. Every second he buys a yeshiva, it'll be Avroche. But now he can go home. I was Meshamish Rav Aaron. Every Ben Asmanim, if he take two Bachrim to his house, he Meshamish and Ben Asmanim. Of course, he would only take those Bachrim who where I didn't have a home in New York. So I, with the little girl, was there when Sman, that particular Sman, the very first night, and we slept on a couch. She ended up at an old couch in the living room, and that's where we slept. I slept. In the middle, as soon as I went to sleep, I hear a barn with the rabbits outside the door. And happens to be there was only, I never told you this much, there was only one pillow. The rabbit held that maybe I like to sleep with two pillows. So the rabbit says, I can't go into the room. Maybe sleeping, maybe he said, not proper for it. The rabbit took the pillow. I heard the conversation, so I ducked under the floor, make believe I'm sleeping. The rabbit found another pillow and put it by me. Next, my sister, Mechavrusa, running with Mechavrusa, and his wife just went to the hospital to have a baby. So he left over my chavrusa and the children to wait till for a couple of days, because he had to go to New York. He had to be away for a couple of days. My chavrusa was married, he didn't have any children, so he took over the children. But the person never came back, and he was going to his parents for Sukkot. So he asked me, Chesed, he says, take the kids, or I think six or seven kids, until the mishpacha comes back, because I can't take them to Baltimore with me. So I took them, I walked the kids into the yeshiva, Rabbi saw me with the kids, asked me what's the dust, so I told them the ma'aseh. So Rabbi said, you'll help me, take care of the kids. The first thing he told me, he gives him a lot of drinking, the very thin kid, gives him a lot. Yeah. Of course, we couldn't take care of the kids, we got somebody else to take care of the kids. The ma'aseh shoya kachoya, one night after you cook leftover Ravan, a jug of milk, in the summertime, the old Ravan used to drink postum. So she laid out postum on its table in the dining room, and we had to rock the Ravan home from the basement. They never let the Ravan rock himself. Whoever wanted to do a guy, speak of learning or speak Jesus, as they would wait until Ravan leaves, and they grab him, and my day, I walked Ravan back, and whoever walked back prepared the postum for the milk in for him. It's very hot, the Ravan tells me, after he poured the milk into the compost, there was a little jug of milk left there. I should put it in the refrigerator because it's going to spoil. I took the milk into the refrigerator. As I got into the kitchen, just about to put it in the refrigerator, Sarah Barnes running after me. He told me, he says, no, I should drink it myself because I'm very thin. Mice, I'll tell you.
That would be good.
That was good or not?
That was good.
I don't want to waste the mice. There was a medical dictator in Detroit, and Ramesha, and it was a day school there, Ramesha, Baron, and Rabbi Yakin. All three went to settle, was tearing up the city in the day school over there. It was my turn, that this was just after our Baron's accident, and the issue was Mechalik the Macha, the other whoever could drive. So every day, every time, famous dictator in Detroit. So all three were there. Rabbi had a shiur Sunday morning, and after the shiur, it was my turn to drive him that day. I drove him to Borough Park, he took his own need, he took his stuff, and I drove him to the train station to meet Rabbi Yakov and Rabbi Meshia, and they were going together. All three were going together. Before he left the house of Borough Park, I heard the other one, Rabbi, was asking the Rebbetzin for money. The Rebbetzin opened up her purse. I didn't see it, but I heard it. She had $2.40 in change. Yeah, she gave it to him. The yeshiva had given me $10 for tools and gas for the car. I took her mom to meet her mission in Arkham by the train station. I told her yeshiva that he's not shy to go to Detroit up to $2.40. I'll try it. The yeshiva looked at me and said, like this, I have a ticket. The stam is it there. They gotta come, somebody will meet us over there and take us to where we have to stay. When I come back here, every time somebody will meet us also, what do I need money for? Afaninas. Afaninas is $2.40 also. He wouldn't take the money. Rabbi Aaron with the Talmidim was a medici, like a father, mamish like a father to the Talmidim. And the impression from the outside was Rabbi Aaron was no scientist to the Talmidim, as he called, but he was a medic. But the other one that came to shidduch him, I was getting a little older and I wasn't going to get ready to shidduch him. Rabbi called me in, and Rabbi held the reason I don't have shidduch him. Is because I don't have money to make telephone calls for dates. Mm-hmm. So our Brian permitted me to use the Shirisha telephone to make appointments, he said. What else? That was enough. That's enough. My somebody told me a Shirach. Yeah. And I went to Rishdu. And I came back Yeah, I went to discuss it with Baron. Baron told me to stop the shooter. That's the one. Ramosh was a very fine shooter. He showed me a few zaken. That mishpacha is not mazel tov. He told me if your parents were here, it would be their decision to make. Right now, I have their chayes. I say don't do it. And later on, it turned out that taka was a lot of tzoros in that mishpacha. Never personally did he, never did I ask. Yeah, I asked him after the show, I asked him once in a while. But never did he ask. Mm-hmm. Never did he bottom last me. Another, I'll tell you another miser. Yeah. After this year, Tom, it's like a rooster. You're on it, Tom, or not?
Tom.
You want names or also?
Yes,
Rabbi Hyman was my chavrusa. We were learning. And the first year, it was as agreed the first year of Obas, so he said, I go all the next year. Rabbi Hyman went over, and I went over also, but I didn't go all to the way. He went over to the rest of the room, I went over to listen. And Rabbi Hyman was doing a simple bit on the shear. And after that, he asked Rabbi Hyman how old he was when he made the shear. So Rabbi told him to something was that shear he made as he was running away in the Muhammad was hiding in a U.S. place in the dungeon there. That's where he made this particular shear. And Rabbi asked him, why are you asking? He said, he wants to know who he bites the Chalmach. His boss asked him, he wants to know how bite he is. Well, he's a Medicamite. One of your Medicamites in it. The Brian had an accident on Thursday, fell out of the car, and I was getting married on Tuesday. I got married on Tuesday.
Wait,
the Brian fell out of the car.
Year, the year.
So they had to be 57. Yeah, he fell out of the car, and he injured his shoulder, and he had to be in bed. And he was supposed to be Masada Kedushin on Tuesday for me. After I said, Bishu Mevana. He can't go, he has to rest, he can't leave the bed, he has to go. That morning, Davidson called up the Kala and her mother, that Rosh Hashanah wants to speak to her. The day of Chassan. I have no idea if this has happening. And did I ever tell you only answer this twice? It's a major mic. No, it isn't a mic. It's a level of the mic. The day the Chassan and Rabbi held up my shear and the Kala, he wanted to see it. He took a taxi, can't even see the chassid, even though it was very busy getting ready for the chassid. The Rishon called, they have to see, so they got a taxi right over there. The purpose of this visit was to be machazik them al choshev al bachar. He felt he had to, he wanted to tell them, you know, that he couldn't tell them where the chassid, but couldn't tell them there. He wanted to be machazik the zah of choshev al satate. I never asked. I didn't know. My wife first told me, the God first told me later on that night, she told me, you know what? He called us up this morning, this morning. It was Malala Ryan, how he treated like a son. Yeah. Since he couldn't make it, he sent Ramesha Feinstein. I didn't know Ramesha. I had no shaykhs to Ramesha. Rabbi asked Ramesha Chesed. Yeah. He could have asked anybody else. Rabbi felt I shouldn't feel bad. He asked Ramesha to come down to the Masada Kedushin for him. Nice or not?
Yes, you don't have it up.
Hey, well, epilogue.
It's Peter. Yeah.
No.
What the, what do you call it? The bracha that Ramayan always gave. Very interesting, the very first years of the yeshiva, Ramayan was very mechazik the bracha because the whole world was against the concept of kolel. And he held, and he said to the Shmosim that every bracha that's now here in Yeshiva will get the schar from Rav Kivayir. Because all of what they get, they could go to college, become professors, make a good living. The Mesh Nefesh Rateir, they'll get a Gevaldik schar. The purpose of that was, he wanted Rav Shita was to make the next day a payment for the Torah. The Rav Yitzchak, he held that after the Chuvah from Europe, that is the concept of Lechua. Does that happen? And that's how he will be shiva. So he was very matkish in this era. So when somebody made a simcha, even his chaska lichna made a simcha, he had a girl, first daughter. The rabbi came to the kiddush, he said a drasha, and the bracha was to be mamshich. That was the bracha that he gave.
Let me just say, thank you very much, Rabbi Tannenbaum, for your words on the Baron. Thank you.